Muy buenas tardes. Hoy viernes 8 de noviembre.
Good afternoon. Today, Friday, November 8th of this year, 2024, I am sending very warm greetings there to Peru, where missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin is with his wife, Ruth de Bermudez, and also to Dr. Nelly Fuentes. May God bless you, Nelly. And also to Dr. Nancy and all the ministers, brothers and sisters, gathered there in the congregation that Reverend Ronald Rios pastors there in Lima, Peru. For today, Friday, November 8th of this year, 2024, we have the subject, What the Spirit of God Searches. It was preached on June 22nd of 2002 in Austin, Texas, and he used the scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and on, where it tells us, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things," yeah, the deep things of God. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." There, on verse 10 and 11, to the left, he writes Zechariah 7, from 11 to 12, and further down there, he draws three circles in verse 11 to the left, three circles, one inside of the other, to the left side there as well. And also, he also writes Romans 11:23, there on the left side, and at the end of verse 11, where it says, the Spirit of God, there on the side, he writes Isaiah 40, verse 13. And it continues to say, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." What the Spirit of God searches. You may please be seated. In Hebrews chapter 4, on verse 12, it tells us, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, notice, it is the word that discerns, searches, both, notice, the mind of God and everything that is hidden, which Through His Spirit, He teaches us. Through His prophets. Now, look here in the message, the wisdom of God, which was preached on December 13 of 2015 in Washington, United States of America, by Dr. William Soto Santiago. He says, man is not the one that seeks God. It is not the human being. That is why they will never find Him that way. Through human wisdom, they weren't able to know. They haven't been able to know God in divine wisdom. Now, it is the Spirit of God, the angel of the covenant, Christ, in His heavenly body, who searches the deep things of God, and from there He brings everything to reveal it to the human beings, as He has always done. Surely, the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, His prophets. Amos 3:7. In the Book of the Ages, on page 43, the edited one, on page 43, it tells us, let's see here. Starting from the top here in this version, he begins by reading on Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice, Revelation 1:10, as of a trumpet. I was in the Spirit, and there he writes Theophany on top. Isn't that just beautiful? My, I love that. You could just call those words the whole of the Christian life. And if we are going to live as Christians, we have to be in His Spirit. John was not talking about being in his own spirit. That would not have brought these visions. It had to be the Spirit of God. It has to be the Spirit of God with us, too, or all our efforts are in vain. And on the left, he writes, results. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, I will sing in the Spirit, I will live in the Spirit. If there is anything good that will come to me, it has to be revealed by the Spirit, confirmed by the Word. And on the left, he writes, revealed by the Holy Spirit, confirmed by the Word. And made manifest by the results it bears. And he writes results on the left as well. And he writes results, and he draws a Star of David. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes results. As surely as John needed to be in the Spirit to receive these tremendous revelations fresh from Jesus, we need to be in the Spirit. And he writes there, Theophany, to understand the revelations that God has given to us to live by His Word, for it is the same Spirit. And on the left, he draws another Star of David. Now, our brother William continues to say, that is how the revelation of the Word of God has come to the people, and it is written, the revelation which is available to the people in the book of the Bible. The Bible is the thought of God revealed through Christ by His different instruments, which He has had on earth and entered into, and through them He has revealed Himself to them, and through them He has revealed His Word to the people. In the Book of the Seals, it tells us that the thought would come, was brought to Moses, and then he spoke.
donde él escribió allí,
where he wrote there, thought.
Y ahí es,
and that is also where he speaks
de las moscas,
about the flies
y de las plagas,
and the plagues.
Era un pensamiento de Dios,
and pero it was a thought of God.
Ustedes,
but notice
que luego que él lo habló,
that after he spoke it, then that thought
cumplido,
would be fulfilled.
Ya sea en el momento,
whether in the moment
or
más adelante, later on.
Lo importante era,
the important thing was that he spoke it. Look, in 4:16, at the bottom he says, now, look here, when these prophets are prophesying there, they, if any man mistreat them, harms them, fire proceeds from their mouth, Holy Ghost, fire, the word is God, the word is fire, the word is the Spirit, see, proceeds from their mouth. Look at Moses, and there on the right, on the left, he writes, Revelation 10:1-11 and 11:1-19, that speaks to us about the coming of the mighty angel. And we see that Revelation 11 tells us about the two anointed ones, the two witnesses, already prophesying there. Egypt, they were mistreating the Jews. Well, they wouldn't let them go. Pharaoh wouldn't. God put the words in Moses' mouth. See, it's God's thoughts going into Moses' heart, and he goes over now to express it. Then it becomes the word, stretched his hand forth, said, let there be flies. And here come flies, look here. And if any man hurts them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemy. See, there it is. They can speak what they want to, and there it happens. Amen. And if any man hurts them, they must in this manner be killed. And he writes above, God's thoughts enter Moses' heart, and he speaks them. Now, let's turn to the Book of the Ages on page 213, where it tells us, he's going to read from Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, and it says, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, look at that version, which is the version of 1909, there on that part where it says, searcheth the reins, here in Reina Valera 1960 version, that part says there, where it says, searcheth the reins and hearts, but the old version says, searcheth. Now, look what Brother Branham says. God looketh the heart that has never changed, neither will it ever change. Here, as through all the ages, there are two groups. Both proclaim their revelation from God and their relationship to God. And he reads 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God is standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord searches the rain. The word searches means to track or follow up. And he writes there above on the paragraph, reins equals thoughts of the heart. What the kidneys do, the thoughts also do. They filter and purify. And he writes upwards, above reins, he writes there upwards, the word of God. God tracks down our thoughts, reigns. He knows what is in our hearts. He sees our works, which are a definite manifestation of what lies within us. It is out of the heart, and on top he writes, soul, what that precedes either righteousness or wickedness, our motives, our purposes, all is known unto him as he watches every action, and every action, every word shall be brought into judgment when the accounting for our lives is given. There was no fear of God before the false vine, and dearly shall they pay. Let all who name his name so live as becometh saints. We might fool the people, but we will never fool the Lord. And there on the right he draws a Star of David. Now, look, in this writing as well, there is a place here where he writes, the revelation and wisdom of the Holy Spirit in a man. And he writes there, the two olive trees. Now, they can deceive people, but they cannot deceive the Holy Spirit being manifested at this end time in a man, which through that man, God would be fulfilling everything relevant to this end time in this manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the midst of his church, which will culminate with the resurrection and the transformation. Now, notice, our brother William continues to say here, that is why in Zechariah chapter 7 it tells us the following about the way in which God works, and God reveals himself, and thus the divine wisdom is manifested in human beings. Zechariah chapter 7 verse 11 to 12 and says, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulders and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yeah, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his Spirit. How did the word of God come to the people? Through the Holy Spirit by the prophets. That is God's way, God's example to follow every occasion in which he reveals his word to human beings. By the former prophets, therefore, came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. And on page of this same book of the ages, on page 225, it tells us, I have been saying right along that there are actually two churches, though the Spirit speaks to both of them in each age, as though they were but one. And on the right he writes, two churches, wheat and tares. Here it is plainly stated that there are churches, and it states just as plainly that some of those churches most evidently do not know that he is the one who searcheth the reins and the hearts. He is going to prove to them that it is so. Now then, what churches will be those that do not know this truth? Of course, it is the false vine group, because the true believers certainly know that judgment begins at the house of God, and they being God-fearing judge themselves that they be not judged. Now, why does God call these churches his churches, even though they are the false vine? The truth of the matter is that they are Christians, but they are not Christians of the Spirit. They are Christians of the flesh. They are bearing the name in vain. And he reads Mark 7:7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Now, our brother William continues to say, when people don't listen God's voice through the prophets, a great wrath from God comes upon them. Those who did not want to hear the voice of God through Moses, all of those who left Egypt were not able to enter the promised land. They died in the wilderness. And those who spoke negatively about the promised land, saying that the land ate the people, that it was full of giants, and that it was impossible to enter, the 10 spies that spoke in that way died of plagues in the wilderness when they returned from the promised land. We cannot speak negatively about the promised word for the time in which we live and then say it was out of ignorance. In other words, we cannot talk about what God promised that he would be carrying out in a negative way, nor can we talk negatively about the prophecies, visions, dreams that Reverend William Marion Branham spoke to us regarding the end of time and the way in which God would be fulfilling all of that, in the way that God would be fulfilling everything that was shown by Reverend William Branham. That is the way. We should not get ahead of ourselves and speak too much, speak foolishly, and then have to be regretting what we said. And we cannot say that it was out of ignorance, because notice, look, our brother William continues to say, people are always responsible for when they open their mouths. Therefore, it is important to be careful and never speak negatively, because sometimes certain people speak negatively because they say that they do not understand. If you do not understand, then pray to God so that God may help you, and one day you will understand. Notice how many times he said it and how many times I have repeated it to you. If you do not understand something, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth and instead pray to God. Like he said to someone, you are not going to see the third pool. And you have to start praying to see if God allows you to see it, but you are not going to see it. So what does that person have to do? Well, start praying. That's the best action that a person should take, and tell the others, look, he told me this, so I am telling you to start praying as well, because I see that you do not understand. Start praying so that God will let you see, because it is not of him which wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. And maybe God will move to mercy and make that person to see. But by him saying that they won't see the third pool, notice, he's saying that they are not going to see it. But he is giving them an opportunity. Pray to God. Because if there weren't an opportunity, he wouldn't have said, he wouldn't have told them to pray. Actually, by telling them, pray to God, well, he's given them a door. He's given them an opportunity so that through prayer, that prayer reaches the presence of God. If it is made with honesty and with humility and with revelation in terms of receiving that light to be able to see the third pool, then God hears and moves to mercy. But if they then do the opposite and start speaking against the promises that God made and that God is fulfilling at this time, if they stumble and start speaking, well, then the first part of what he spoke about is going to be fulfilled. You are not going to see the third pool. And that is very sad, that after realizing that they lost that opportunity that they were given to instead pray and ask God to see the third pool. And do you know what means to see the third pool? It is to see the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. That is what it means to see the third pool. It is seeing the fulfillment of the angel who was different from the rest. It is seeing the revelation of the seventh seal. It is seeing the fulfillment of what was promised, that in the great tenth cathedral, the revelation, the rapture in faith would be brought. But notice, everyone may be seeing it, and they may be listening to it, and they may be looking at everything God is doing. But if their understanding is not open, if the Spirit of God does not show that prophetic revelation to that person, they will never see it. They may be listening to the same thing as the elect who are indeed believing and receiving, but they may say, no, that's not true. Therefore, the most important thing that a believer in the message must do at this end time is pray to God. Shut your mouth and not speak negatively, as we read here. Be careful and never speak negatively. And that way, you don't come later on saying, but I spoke without thinking. You must have thought in order to speak, otherwise you are a crazy person. And a sane person thinks and then speaks. For he says there, every person has a responsibility when they open their mouth. Therefore, it is important to be very careful about what we speak negatively in terms of the divine promises. And what you don't understand now, you will understand it later on. Look, in the message, souls that are in prison today, on page 49, page 47 and 48, there Reverend William Branham tells us, speaking to us about this story that happened there in Ireland. Let me tell you this just before closing now. I'm closing. It was told about in Ireland, facing the waters, there was a great reef that goes down along the side of the bank and up on this great hill, and there was a man going, walking along there one day, just at the time of the tides to come in. He underlines and circles our, and there was a noble man who lived on the hill, and he writes, in the cornerstone, Moses and Elijah, that knowed the tides, and he writes, the judgments. He knows the time of the day that the tides was supposed to come. And on top, he writes again, the judgment. He knew what time the tides set in. And he writes, the 0 hour. This guy didn't care what time. He was one of these know-it-alls. He had his own idea. He was an athletical man, smart, intelligent fellow, but he just didn't know the time of the tides. And he writes, of the judgment. And he writes on the left, the wise man and the know-it-all at the 0 hour. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. He didn't know the country. He didn't know the time, the signs went right. When the moon had dropped its back forth the earth, and when God ever drops his spirit from the earth, brother, she is gone. It's all over. And he writes, sixth seal. That moon would ever move out of its place. And he writes, the church, the waters, and he writes the fire, would cover the earth like it was when God started it in Genesis 1. Now, here, where he says, when God ever drops his spirit from the earth, there are some places where he speaks to us about the one who prevents. That's 2 Thessalonians, right around the first few chapters, where it talks about all of that. And that's the Holy Spirit. Now, then, it says that when he is taken away, then it says he will come incarnate. In other words, the Holy Spirit in the first coming of the Lord begot that son in Mary, which was formed cell after cell by the spoken word of Gabriel, the Holy Spirit. Now, you see that when Gabriel left, then the birth of that son was fulfilled, who was called Jesus. Now, at this in time, on page 168 of the Book of the Seals, he tells us, on page 168, where it says, "And at the same time that the devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate in a man." And on page 154, it tells us about the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit that we have. He says, "When this Holy Spirit that we have now, because it is now in our midst," let's read it there, "and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That Holy Spirit has been in the midst of his church from age to age, but notice, there comes a point when he is taken away, but then he returns incarnate. And there, but we're going to talk about that in another study about some writings that he has that speak to us about all of that, to follow along the line that we are reading here. But you already have something there. A little bit of what that scripture of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2 or 2, where it speaks to us about that, which we have talked about it in a study just briefly. But notice, every time God opens more our understanding and the picture of all that was spoken, and which at this end time is the fulfillment of the things that haven't been fulfilled through the scriptures, where he wrote in a writing that everything that was not fulfilled in past times in the Bible, at this end time will be the fulfillment of the whole Bible. Now, look, he continues to say here, "And when God ever drops his spirit from the earth, brother, she is gone, it's all over." And he writes, seventh seal, "That moon would ever move out of its place, the water would cover the earth like it was when God started it in Genesis 1. And he writes, sixth seal, "But the moon," she writes above, "set there, and when it just even turns it ahead, the tides start running in. This wise old man," and he writes Moses and Elijah, "who lived there in the presence of it, knowed what time that was. This guy didn't know. He never studied it. He didn't care about it. And this wise old man run out and said, 'My good man, darest thou go any further? Turn back quickly. There is a wall. You can't get up the wall. You will perish. It's the signs are on. The time, the tide will gush you in all at once, and you cannot return. Don't go any further.' And the man turned around and laughed at him." Notice, not even when you tell them to be careful, to start praying instead, that what they don't understand now, they can understand if they ask God for revelation, and that God opens their understanding. And instead of start praying, instead they laugh. But the warning is there. In that message, warning before judgment, it is a message that speaks many things to us there, because always God, before sending the divine judgment, whether to a nation, a continent, a king, a president, a ruler, a mayor, or an individual, God always gives a warning so that afterward there is no excuse. I wasn't told anything. The warning is there, and the person with his free will faces one consequence or the other. Either he receives a blessing or he receives a curse. As simple as that. And the man turned around and laughed at him and said, "Go take care of your own business. I know what I can do and what I can't." And he writes on the left, "The wise man and the know-it-all," the judgment. And the tides caught him. See? It may be later than we think. See? It'll catch you. Don't go any further. Don't you do it. People, if you've always believed in me as being God's servant, take my word this morning. And there on the right, he draws a Star of David. And I tell you in this evening, take my word this evening. Now notice, he says, it might be already too late. So much scripture shows it that way. And on the left, he draws a Star of David. Remember that this is the final ministry in the midst of the church, which is in mercy. First, and then, notice, it changes to judgment. Mercy for those who receive him. Now, notice, our brother William continues to say, on one occasion, Peter did not understand, and Jesus said to him, "What you don't understand now, you will understand later. God will help you understand it in the right time." Believers from the beginning didn't understand everything that we understand now because it wasn't for that time. Those mysteries will be open at our time, and now they are commonly known among us. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now, notice in the message, there is a man here that can turn on the light. On page 23, Reverend William Branham tells us, halfway through the page, they marked this by paragraphs. It is the 108, it says. He was the long-promised Messiah that the world had waited on. He was the Messiah promised, made manifest. Look at him when he stood there. He said, "If I do not the works of my Father, then condemn me." See? But if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. They testify who I am. And he writes on the left, the works, they tell you who am I. You see, that blind, darkened hour that they live in, they couldn't see it, they just couldn't understand. How could he be that? See? And that is, as we say here, where they get stuck. In other words, they couldn't understand despite everything Jesus did. They wanted miracles, they wanted everything. Look, if there were healings and everything Jesus did before them and they never believed. In other words, it wasn't about seeing the miracles or anything, it was the veil. They couldn't understand that something so great, God was fulfilling it in such a simple way in Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter from Nazareth, and whose life they knew, his families, where he was born and all of that. And to say that he was the Messiah, that was something inconceivable to the human mind. In other words, they couldn't understand that. And he says, how can he be any son of God when he was born right down here in Bethlehem? See, if they only knowed the word said it would come that way, why his father Joseph is a carpenter, his mother, why it's actually believed amongst our brethren that he was born illegitimately. See, but yet the word of God said that. He said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are the very ones that testify who I am. They are the ones that testify of me." these holy scriptures. Then what was he? God's light. No wonder he said, I am the light of the world. Not only he say, I am the light, but he said, ye are the light. If his word is in you, bearing record of itself, then you are the light of the world. Look at, that is so beautiful. Now, for that human being to be the light of the world, he must believe in the one who is the light. Because you cannot be the light of the world and not believe in the one who is the light of the world. It's only to those who believe, who understand the mystery of the first coming of the Lord, and at this end time, they believe and receive and understand the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. Notice, we find out light of each age made manifest just the same. Then I want to ask the question as, for our time gets away, why? Why then were they, did they turn it down? How could they do it when their very Bible that they was reading was being manifest before them? Notice how many times they have read the scriptures, the messages from Brother William, and they print booklets and study and highlight. And many times they mark and underline with highlighter. And they mark many things that they read, and the same thing that they are marking there being manifested before them, and they do not see it. That's the sad part. Now, study real hard now. Now, remember, I am talking to many people at this occasion, you see, not just 400 or 500 here, but I am talking to many thousands. Stop just a minute. Stop your tape recorder and ask the question, why would religious man, good man, why would Joseph question? He is speaking of Joseph, Mary's husband. See, why would? Because he never searched the scriptures. Why did the priest question? One reason, they didn't, they knew it. Nicodemus well expressed it. He said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher from God. On the left, he writes, because they didn't search. No man could do what you do except God be with him. We are aware of that. But what was it? Their traditions kept them from doing it. A teacher at the beginning of 2022, around March, February, March, wrote to me and told me, I perceive that you are like a teacher for us. And I see that in you. And she even reminded me recently, do you remember that I saw there that there was something there? Notice how it began, like a teacher, as a teaching, as a teacher, and how that ministry, which has continued to grow, because those five ministries are there, which are consolidated in the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Now, all of that, in a simple way, and notice that it was shown as when he also began in that decade of the 74, from 70 and around 74, where many get stuck on the dispensation of the kingdom already beginning there. But notice all of that, for us, it is a mystery that is already revealed to the elect of God. The rest will continue to think the same way, because the promise of transformation is not for them. It is only for those to whom that great mystery is revealed, which was so shown and reflected in him in that part when he started as a teacher as well. And there, And there were already ministries in the church, but notice how he began as a teacher, but then, later on, he was identified as a prophet. And notice how he followed all those stages in his life as well, which now, in this dispensation of the kingdom, is when we fully see that being carried out by the Holy Spirit. Now, he continues to say, then, why were they, didn't they reject the Messiah? Why did they reject that light? Here is the word that they know was coming to pass. But when the word was made manifest to show that the word of God had been fulfilled, compare that with today, see? When they're written in the word, that would take place, then why did those men reject it? Teachers, because they were living in the glare of another light. That's it. They were living in a glare, as he said in the ages. Why live in the shadows or try to go to the shadows and the types and figure if we have the reality? That's the thing they are doing today. They are living. The reason they turn it down, it's because they are living in the glare of another light. See? Now, they was living in the glare of what Moses said. They claimed. We have the message of Moses, some said. We have the law. We have Moses as a prophet. See? They were looking back. Even though Moses spoke of Jesus, they was living in the glare of what another age have passed by. And he writes there, they live in the glare of another age of the past. And that's the very reason today that this message that Jesus Christ still is the same, it's turned down because the people are living in glares of other ages. The same reason they will turn it down. Now we notice. And Webster says that a glare is kind of a false light. A glare is a false light. Is anything that glares, like a mirage on the road. You go down the road, many of you driving cars, and look down ahead of you. When you see that sun on the ground, it reflects a light, and like a mirage. Look like there's water all over the road, but when you get there, there's nothing there. It is only a false mirage, a glare of the true light. See? That's what the devil is doing today, is showing people a mirage, a council of churches, a group of denominations, which will turn out to be false because it's because there is a real light shining. That real light wasn't shining. A mirage couldn't be there. Real light shines. And that, they are living in the glare of another age, another thing, for it's hit and it's past. Now, a glare, this mirage, is false. It's a glare of the sun. And that's the way they did the same thing, a false glare of the true light. Now, it proved to be that he was the true light. He was the light. Why did they know that he was the light? How could you know he was the light? Because the word that was promised was made manifest through him. So he was the light of that spoken word. And he writes on the left, the identification. Now, our brother William continues to say, further on in this message, now, when God allows for the Spirit to give revelation, that is for all the believers, to give us of His wisdom so that we may believe. First, we believe what He gives us, and then we understand little by little as the Spirit of God works in us. On page 19 of the message, God's gifts always find their places, it tells us. Now, God guided the Magi because they had the right gifts. God guided these wise men because they had the right identified gift to identify His Son. Oh my, do you get it? Wise men today, rise in the name of the Lord, not with some fictitious something, but with the gift that God promised for this day, and God will guide you to identify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and he writes Elijah, and forever, and he writes Moses. There you are, wise men. And he writes wise men today. And our brother William continues to say, and remember that the revelation for the church comes through the Spirit of God. God brings it through His Spirit, through His heavenly body, the angel of the covenant, just as He brought the old covenant, and then He was made flesh and brought the new covenant. In the Book of Quotations on page 24, it tells us, on the paragraph 196, it says, the Holy Spirit speaking out how those gifts to be working in the last day. Now, we got gifts of healing working. Oh, it's going good. Well, brother, there is other gifts. That's just one of them. That's just a little minor thing. Well, here's a far greater gift right here, which would be the best. The gift of the Holy Ghost of wisdom to put the Word of God together and to show the church where we are standing. Than just to get somebody healed? We all want to be well, but I'd rather have my soul well than my body well anytime. Many are looking for physical healing, to see physical healings. But see, yes, there are physical healings as well. But the most important and greater thing is to have a healthy soul. And at this time, the first thing that God is carrying out is the spiritual healing, opening the spiritual eyes of all the elect of God and teaching them where we are at, bringing them up to the age of the cornerstone, bringing them into the dispensation of the kingdom through the door, which is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, in His second coming, to come in into the new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, and be positionally placed there. And thus, the bride, recognizing her position, then, Brother Branham says, the rapture will come. When the bride recognizes what she is, who she is in the divine program, who she is before God, where she is standing at this time, the rapture will take place. And all of that is the work of the Holy Spirit incarnate at this time, giving the church bride the faith, the revelation of where she stands. Now, look, there on the left he writes, to put the Word of God together and to show the gift of wisdom. And also in another book of quotations he writes, gift of wisdom to show where we are. Now, he continues to say, whoever speaks about the second coming of Christ must go to Mount Transfiguration and see what happened there. Because what happened there is the vision of what will happen in the age of the cornerstone in the last day. The mountain represents the church, and the high part is our age. Christ went to a high mountain with his disciples. And the high part is our age. Christ went to a high mountain with his disciples. Therefore, the coming of the Lord must be with his angels, just as Christ said that the Son of Man would come with his angels and that he would send them with a great voice of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect. Therefore, that cannot fail. It is the only stage of the church where the angels of the Son of Man will appear, Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees, who will also bring the divine revelation for the Hebrew people in the last day. On page 115 of the Book of Quotations, on paragraph 1009, He says, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. We cannot understand that, yet we say we believe it, and we know it's true, but we really don't understand it. Then, if he is in you, he absolutely would not deny what he said. He couldn't do it, but he would keep what he has said, and he is trying to find that person, and he writes, a prophet, and he can vindicate himself through, and on the right he draws a Star of David. Now, that doesn't mean that he has to do it to everybody. In the time that Moses led the children of Israel, there was one that was Moses. The rest of them just followed the message. See, some of them tried to rise up to impersonate it. And God said, separate yourself and just swallow them up. See? See? Now, but he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Now, see that after Moses left, Joshua continued, and they had to follow Joshua, not to wait for Moses to come. The time of Moses had already finished. Therefore, when God finishes the work and the labor with a messenger and he leaves, he rises up another one. Don't start getting into people's head, especially the ministers, instilling in them that it's because he's going to come back again to carry out what and fulfill what is left to be fulfilled. That is not true. God has never acted that way. God takes a messenger, his work finishes on earth, takes him, and rises up another messenger. That is how it has always been from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation. And the second man who will rise in 3 days after, 3 days after that was fulfilled in Jesus, there in the first coming, fulfilled in that young carpenter from Nazareth called Jesus, who resurrected on the third day. The next one is the seventh dispensational angel messenger with the spirit and power of Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. In other words, the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. That is the second man who, while he is alive, it's a work that the Holy Spirit leads in that adopted man to be able to lay down his life, because it is a work that the Holy Spirit is carrying out before the resurrection. And then, notice, just as he was after being condemned, crucified, and buried, notice, he carried out a 3-day work, and then he resurrected. The second man is that messenger who, after carrying out all that work in the midst of the church bride, and after the Hebrew people is also impacted by that ministry, notice, he carries out that work with all the groups, and Revelation 11 is fulfilled. But notice, that is the second man who resurrects after 3.5 days. None of the prophets fulfilled that promise. Therefore, it is simple to identify who that man is. Those who talk to the groups saying that they are going to come back, so-and-so is coming back, this other person is coming back, and that other person is coming back, they are deceiving the people, the promises. And visions and dreams that Reverend William Branham spoke to us, which would be fulfilled at this end time, everything is carried out on this earth. The action happens here on earth. There is silence in heaven. The action is here. Therefore, search here for where the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels is. What God, the Holy Spirit, is doing in the midst of the church, where the revival is, where that man giving the rapture in faith to the elect is, and you will find the action of the Holy Spirit there. Now, it says, now, but he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world, God in you, like he was in Jesus Christ, because all that God was, he put it into Christ, and all that Christ was, he put it into the church. And there on the left, he writes, what God is, he poured it into Jesus Christ. What Christ is, he poured it into his church. What God is, he poured it into Jesus Christ. What Christ is, he poured into his church. Now, our brother William continues to say, we are in a very important time in which God's wisdom, God in his wisdom predestined, or let us say, he decreed to have children in this end time who will look up to the age of the cornerstone and they would ascend. That is a spiritual rapture, because from that place they will go, they will be transformed and go with Christ, because on Mount Transfiguration it happened on top of that part of that mountain. Therefore, and the stone that the builders rejected will return as it came to Israel. It will return to his church. It will come to his church. It is the stone cut out without hands. That is the coming of the Lord to his church, and it will bring great blessings to his church, but it will put an end to the kingdom of the Antichrist, to the kingdom of the Gentiles. The coming of the Lord will, because two kingdoms cannot exist at the same time on the same planet. Remember that the kingdom of Christ is global, but its capital will be in Jerusalem, because it has a promise of the throne of David and the kingdom of David. Therefore, in God's wisdom, we see that there are great blessings for all of us. We can say that they were greater than those from past ages. Those blessings will materialize in God's people at this end time for a transformation and then the rapture of the believers. Just as Christ showed the vision of Mount Transfiguration to Peter, James, and John, notice, he showed Reverend William Branham a great tent cathedral and a great manifestation of the power of God in a great tent cathedral. And he was told, that is the third pool. Something great will happen when that tent vision is fulfilled, because if we receive the faith to be raptured, then we will go from here. And that's when the third pool will give us the faith to be transformed will be manifested. In other words, if we desire to live, if that is the desire from our heart, notice, it is in the great tent cathedral, that is where it was promised that the people of God will receive that rapture in faith. And he goes on to say, and since we have means of communication in all countries, we will be able to remain updated through the screen, the broadcasting, attentive to everything that is taking place. Whoever is not connected to the great tent cathedral is irresponsible, because you have already been told to be connected to the great tent cathedral, as simple as that. And every minister will be accountable who heard this, which was spoken, and not only at this moment, but in many places, that they should have everything prepared and connect to the great tent cathedral when all that is taking place. In other words, it is the responsibility of each minister to have his church aware of everything that is taking place. He will give an account to God for the sheep that God gave him to shepherd, because those sheep are not yours. They belong to the Lord. Now he goes on to say, therefore, there will be no limitations as to that. Wherever the elect are, they will listen. And we will be changed, we will be transformed, because that is what has been promised for us in the word of the Lord, in God's wisdom. It is not human wisdom, but divine wisdom. In a message preached in 1976, he titled it, The Order of Transformation. He says, but before the earthquake and the resurrection, before that, there is a powerful manifestation on God's part. Before what? Before the resurrection. Therefore, before the resurrection is when all of this is going to be taking place. And those who have departed must wait for all of that to be fulfilled, so that then Revelation 11 may then pass through paradise, gather those who are there in the sixth dimension, where there will be a judgment, and then He will come and bring them to earth into the resurrection. But by that time, everything relevant to the fulfillment of the third pool has already been fulfilled while we are in the earthly bodies. The 30 to 40 days is already a work that will be carried out in those bodies already. But before that, the work relevant to the end time is while we are in these earthly bodies. And look, he says, but before the earthquake and the resurrection, before that, there is a powerful manifestation from God while we are still in these bodies. And that is when there will be the fulfillment of what was said, that in a short time, maybe 6 months, God will do something. That is when God will do something very important, and then we will be transformed. What is the most important thing that God will be carrying out in the midst of the church? Well, giving them the rapture in faith to the elect of God. That is the great work, and that is the greatest work that God is carrying out in this end time before the resurrection and the transformation. Therefore, let's be alert and connected to the broadcasts by satellite and internet, where the fulfillment of what was forerun by Reverend William Branham is taking place, as well as what we were brought by Dr. William Soto Santiago, who told us in many messages, connect with the tent. Now, if you are not connected with the tent, and even more so, if you don't go to the meetings and to the activities, if you are from the place or you are a local where the tent is, or if you are in another country and you are not connected, then you are not following the guidelines and the recommendations that he gave in all the messages. He said them and gave them clearly that you will even join them in the devotional. So there is no excuse to then come and say, it's because I didn't know anything. Well, he said it to you and repeated to you in many occasions. And I have also been saying it in many occasions, connect with the tent, and that what you don't understand now, you will understand it later on. But every person has their free will, and every person is responsible for their acts and for their actions and for what they say and for what they think. Well, we have briefly seen here in some scriptures this study under the subject, what the Spirit of God searches, which is the subject that we will be listening to in this occasion. Let's stand up and thus live with us right away our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.